Hagman and Hagman Report. That's what you're listening to. That's right. No, this is not The Price is Right. This is not Wheel of Fortune.
I wish it was.
Yeah, see? See how she is? It's my daughter, Jackie. Joe's out sick tonight. And what we're doing is just having a little bit of fun tonight. You know, we've got, it's a week before Valentine's Day. We have us guys, and I'm going to speak for all of the successful men out there. I'm sure you've got a very supportive, very loving woman behind you. If not, or just perhaps you've got that lady in your life, whether it's your mom or your sister or whoever, that just would love Sherry's Berries. So we are actually giving away five, $50 gift cards, or shall we say, I guess the gift cards, coupon codes for $50 towards your purchase of Sherry's Berries. And I hope, and I know that all of our winners will indeed enjoy that. And I know our guest is John Rappaport, nomorefakenews.com, but he's lately, man, he's been on fire with some articles. Before we get to John, two things. I want to tell you, Pro Flowers. Speaking about Valentine's Day, Pro Flowers, have you gone there? Have you taken care of your wife or that significant other for Valentine's Day? ProFlowers.com. Let me tell you, if you're tired of guessing what she wants for Valentine's Day, and if you love just an easy, fail-proof way to look like a pro this year, Pro Flowers is making it easier than ever by taking all the guesswork out. Right now, on top of all of their already low prices, you can get up to 24 assorted roses with a free glass vase for $29.99 plus shipping and handling. Or you can upgrade for $9.99 more. This is what I did. Okay, my wife's in my office, so I can say this. You can get actually 24 long stem assorted roses with a premium vase and chocolates for just $9.99 more. You can't go wrong. Well, and she got this last year, and she loved it. So you can set, by the way, you can set the delivery day, whatever you want. You could have it delivered on Valentine's Day or any day that you'd like. You can send it right to her home or her work. Pro Flowers bouquets are guaranteed to last 7 days. I know from experience they've lasted, in our cases, upwards of 2 weeks before a petal even fell. Here's the only way, folks, to get 24 assorted roses with a free glass vase, starting at $29.99. Go to proflowers.com, use my code Hagman. Help support this show by supporting our sponsors. Proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in our code, my code Hagman. Don't wait. Order today, because this deal expires soon. Before we bring John on, Jackie, I'm going to turn it to you real quick. The winner, yeah. This is 4 out of 5, so the fourth winner, first name, last initial, and the answer.
Okay, the answer is Martha Washington.
Yeah, I had a hard time. I didn't realize, but I guess when you think about it, you know.
Now, we had a lot of answers, like way out grabbing, like, you know, grabbing sticks.
Okay, all right.
Like, so, we had some Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, it's like a guess, but, I mean, it's nothing like, okay. Martha Washington is like, sorry, do you want me to shut up?
Well, yeah, because we have to bring John on, so.
All right. The winner is Kathy Yu.
Kathy Yu. Okay, you'll be getting a confirmatory email, and then you're going to be asked for your contact information so we can send this to you. Okay. All right. John Rappaport, one of my favorite writers, and the guy behind No More Fake News. And he's got a lot to talk about tonight. And John, thanks for humoring us in this. Thanks for allowing us to take a little bit of your time up. How you doing,
brother? Good to be here. Very good.
Good. Good. Well, where do you want to start? Because you've got an article right now on HagmanReport.com, No More Fake News. Where do you want to start?
Wow. Let's see. Well, there was the judge's decision, the initial decision up in the state of Washington about Trump's temporary travel ban, as it's being called, to limit immigration from certain countries. And so I decided that I would actually read what this federal judge had to say, Robart, because I've done this before. And I've been astounded. There was a case out in Maui with a couple of federal judges, both of whom I exposed for various suspect connections. And so I thought, let's have a read. And a couple things leaped out at me. The first thing was, this judge was saying that whatever he decided had to apply to the entire country, not just the state of Washington, where the complaint was filed against the travel ban, and not Minnesota, which also piggybacked onto this complaint, but the entire nation, because he said immigration law has to be applied uniformly across the whole country. And I thought about this, and I said, yes, but the immigration law, as it pertains to this particular travel ban of Trump's, that has not been decided yet. That comparison has not been made in a court of law. This judge was only empowered to issue a temporary restraining order or not. That was his job. There is nothing in the Constitution or in any law that says that a temporary restraining order has to apply uniformly to the whole country. I mean, that's ridiculous. That would be like saying, yes, we've issued a temporary restraining order against your husband and also against husbands, possible husbands in other states. It just doesn't make any sense.
Thank you for saying that, because I had that same issue. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And the second thing was, he kept citing the idea, and he used the word irreparable. He said permitting this travel ban of Trump's would cause the states, meaning all states across the country, irreparable harm. Now, irreparable means you can't fix it. It's permanent. It's forever. That is completely absurd. Because we're really talking about a difference here of maybe, in as far as refugees are concerned, so-called refugees, 35,000 between what Trump is saying and what Obama was saying last year. And where's the harm? What harm? The harm to, universities, he said, public education, taxes. He started listing all sorts of issues which, to me, you know, drop in the bucket, irrelevant. We're not talking about the loss of billions of dollars to the state of Washington or the loss of anything, except perhaps a lower crime rate might result, fewer people on welfare. He didn't seem to be concerned about that at all. And so the conclusion was that this judge was missing the mark on every point that he made. And I could only conclude that he was biased from the beginning, doesn't like Trump, doesn't like the executive order that Trump issued, doesn't like any of this, wants open borders, and made up some reasons off the cuff as to why he should issue the restraining order, which he did.
Sean, if I can ask you, and I've gotten emails about this, and I'm not even sure how to answer this. Why this judge? Why did this judge speak out? Or why was the case presented to this judge?
That's a very good question. There is a very familiar practice. All lawyers understand it. Some of them engage in it. It's called judge shopping, where you look around for a judge in whose court you feel you can get a favorable decision. It wouldn't surprise me to learn that something like this had happened in this case. In other words, the lawyers for the state of Washington and Minnesota decided, okay, we have a good chance here. The judge and his wife have adopted foster children apparently from other country or other countries. The judge made a favorable sort of oblique comment about Black Lives Matter in another case that he was hearing. So let's see what we can do. Let's see if we can present our arguments before this judge, because we think we're on the right track here. it would not surprise me if something like that happened here.
Interesting. And that answers that question. And I've seen, I've been involved in cases where I've seen judge shopping, and I figured as much. But you're right, going back to what you said, his ruling should only apply to, it should not apply to the entire country, right? The entire class of people. All right. And so why is it being accepted as it's up, as it applies to the class of people? Why the perception that it does? Or the entire country?
Well, I think it's being accepted by major media news. I mean, they are the ones who have the maybe the loudest trumpets, and they can echo chamber their stories back and forth among each other, which they always do. What you see on CNN, you see on MSNBC, you see on CBS, et cetera, et cetera. They go back and forth, and their game is to build the appearance of a consensus and to cause as much trouble in issues where they are actually partisan but are pretending to be objective. So I think that's one of the reasons that we're, you know, seeing the so-called outcry against this. And of course, the other reason is because we have many groups, some of which are funded by George Soros, who's a dedicated globalist, who absolutely demand open borders. This is their agenda. They will accept nothing else. They are not thinking about anything else. That's all they want. Completely open borders. And anything that stands in the way of that, they are going to use protests, riots, threats, intimidation, and we're seeing some of that now.
What is your reasoned and researched, well-researched speculation on how this is going to play out? How do you see this playing out?
Goes to the Supreme Court. This issue, the Ninth Circuit Court has already declined to really look at it. Supreme Court could very well end up 4-4 deadlocked because there is no ninth member after Scalia died. And it doesn't seem at all likely, if the case goes quickly to the Supreme Court, which I think it might, that we would have a ninth Supreme Court justice. So if it does deadlock, then I'm not sure what the outcome is, to tell you the truth. I mean, would the executive order then stand if there is a deadlock, that is a no decision?
Typically, John, in cases where there's a 4-4 deadlock with the Supreme Court in previous decisions, normal cases, it reaffirms the lower court or the appellate court's
What I was going to say. So then it would be it would go back to what Judge Robart decided in the state of Washington, and Trump's executive order would be put on hold. He couldn't enforce it, and then the case itself would be heard. Okay, so now let's argue the constitutionality of Trump's executive order. And how long would that take? I don't know. Not sure. It could be delayed. But I would think that the decision would go against Trump in that case on arguments. And then we would really see, then we would really see some serious conflict, because Trump made this promise that he was going to police the border. Elect me, I'll build the wall, I'll police the border. And now he takes step one, and the court says you can't enforce that. You can't do it. Now we would have some serious conflict.
Couldn't, and I'm just kind of asking you this, has this ever happened with an executive order or an executive action, and I guess my the bigger question, John, is what in the hell right does a lower court? I mean, what's their business? What right do they have to nullify an executive action? And an unintended consequence of this, all of the executive actions and orders by previous administrations, including but not limited to Obama, couldn't that be used as a template to nullify the previous executive actions of previous presidents?
Yes, if they haven't expired. Yes, absolutely. I mean, this could... You're right. That's a very good point. Because once you set this kind of precedent, and again, now the issue of that judge in that court in the state of Washington claiming that his restraining order applies to the entire country, now that would become preeminent. Now we're really talking about something here, because if the Supreme Court deadlocks and it therefore goes back to the decision of the lower court, now it's completely absurd. You've got one federal judge in one state deciding an issue about an executive order on a federal level by the president that applies to the entire country all of a sudden out of nowhere. And to me, it violates completely the separation of powers.
Sure.
Because separation of powers works both ways. You know, the federal government can only assume the powers granted to it by the Constitution. Well, on the other hand, an individual state can only make rulings that pertain to that state. They can't make rulings that pertain to the White House, the Oval Office, the president, the entire country. That, to me, now would become the number one issue. And it seems, I mean, doesn't seem, it is entirely unconstitutional. It would be like, you know, Rhode Island deciding we're going to issue some sort of edict that applies to the entire country.
And I'll tell you, John, you're the only media personality, the only researcher I've heard on any media, including the corporate media, that's ever gone into the depth like this. And I commend you. I mean, this is what they should be talking about, because look at the ramifications, the unintended consequences that this could cause. Man.
Oh, it's just, yeah, and what you've just said makes it even bigger. Okay, so let's now revisit another executive order.
All right.
And let's see what that one says. Oh, no, we don't like that one either. All right. Let's go back and let's find a friendly judge in a friendly state, any state, who can issue a temporary restraining order canceling that executive order. Now you have complete chaos. Now you have not only the judicial completely overwhelming the executive branch, but you have one state, one court in one state, essentially making rules for the entire country. And I agree with you. I mean, why aren't we hearing any arguments on this? I sent out one or two emails to lawyers. I haven't heard anything back. I don't know what lawyers are talking about in their offices about this, but certainly major media, through intended ignorance and real ignorance, they're not taking up these issues. They're not even vaguely dealing with it. They are now committed to their version of, quote, social justice, which overwhelms everything else, including common sense, rationality, the Constitution, the separation of powers, the whole works. They're just, you know, we don't write about that anymore. Our readers are not interested in that. They're interested in who threw a stone through a plate glass window in Berkeley, California, and how big was the fire on the street, and what does that mean, and let's support these people because they must be right. because we don't like Trump.
Exactly. And you know what, folks? This speaks to John Rappaport's depth of knowledge. If you go to nomorefakenews.com, I'd recommend you click on The Matrix Revealed, because there, you want a great investment. You want a course in logic and analysis. You're hearing the product by John Rappaport of logic and analysis as it applies to the latest court order. But I'm going to plug his The Matrix Reveal, because it's a great investment. It's got you purchase that, invest in that, over 250 megabytes of information, over 1,100 pages of text, 10.5 hours of audio, and then his courses in logic and analysis. It's worth its weight in silver and gold. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a great investment. And that's The Matrix Revealed. Go to nomorefakenews.com, and you're seeing, and our thanks to him, it's just, you know, I can't thank him enough, his investigative work products in the form of his articles and such. But that is, I highly recommend that. John, thanks for letting me plug that, because, man, that's
thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, you know what? You put a lot of work into it, and I could tell that this is just, and it's well worth every penny. But having said all of that, all right. So yeah, you've got, so this is a mess. But did they, the opposition, think this through, or is this just kind of a happy accident? To add to the chaos, do you think? In other words, you know, how would this play out, or was this reactionary on the part of the opposition to Trump?
I think the people who are heading up the opposition, their mindset is whatever we can get away with. We've seen this attitude not only during the campaign, but it accelerated quite fantastically once election night returns came in. It was now scramble everybody. We, the major media, have to take the attention off of ourselves, who have egg all of our faces, because we predicted that Hillary Clinton would win by landslide, and then we also were supporting her, even though we were supposed to be doing news. And everybody in the country realized it, and now we picked the wrong horse and we lost and we look terrible. So we have to find people to blame, and we have to just mount an attack, a counterattack against Trump that will not stop ever. So that's what they did. And I think their mindset has been pretty much in the moment. What can we seize on now? And this was something they could seize on. I don't know that they thought ahead to all the consequences. I'm sure that some of them didn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's to me, wow. I don't think I could. Sometimes we think that these people are all powerful, and obviously that they're not. But they certainly could.
Now, there may have been a few lawyers amongst them,
right,
who said, sure, go ahead. And then they sat back and they thought, gee, you know,
hey,
we
let's
can win
do this
thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we can really gum up the system or create additional chaos exploiting this. We have about a minute left before the bottom of the hour. Other topics that we want to touch on, of course, is the medical tyranny, which you're on top of. It's amazing, your research and your investigative work product. And, of course, John, your website, nomorefakenews.com. That's nomorefakenews.com. But in the minute we have left, wrapping this up, anything? I mean, have we missed anything with this?
Yeah, I can see, for example, that future executive orders that Trump issues could be dealt with in a similar fashion.
Hmm.
Okay, let's build a case against this guy. Let's say that everything he's doing is illegal. Let's say that his entire platform, whatever he promised, is violating either some treaty, such as a trade treaty, or a law, so a law about immigration, or a law about clean air, or something. Doesn't matter. Anytime he signs an executive order, puts pen to paper, we now go to court and gum up the works is a perfect phrase, as you pronounced it, because we can now make the next 4 years a complete chaos.
It's the weaponized justice system, or weaponizing the system of justice, or our justice system against the executive branch. In this case, very interesting. We're at the break. Our guest is John Rappaport. His website, No More Fake News. We are it's an honor to have him on. His generous gift of time and his investigative work products, his research products, can be found at nomorefakenews.com. And he's kind enough to let us run his columns as well, as they point back to nomorefakenews.com. We're going to be right back with John Rappaport for the next segment. And by the way, our final winner will be on the third hour. So, folks, you're going to have to hang with us until the third hour. Stay right where you're at. Give us 3 minutes, and we will be right back.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family, MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow, it's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
New Year from all of us at Trading Post in the Woods.
We pray you have a healthy, safe, and prosperous 2017.
And we would like to thank all of you for welcoming us to the Hagman and Hagman family. You're all a very wonderful and special group of people. Because we believe it is so important for you to work and acquire good health this year, we're going to do something that we've never done before as a thank you to you for your support. We're going to make something available that we believe everyone needs.
During the month of January, anyone who invests in their health by purchasing either our American Heritage Remedies Kit, our Survivalist Natural Remedies Kit, or $200 in individual remedies of your choice, we're going to give to you our crisis remedy, just in case, for free.
Your health must be a part of your preparation plan. We're here to help you with that journey. May God bless y'all, and may God bless America.
Happy New Year!
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
You. welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. You know, we're down on YouTube, but apparently we're undergoing some sort of internet attack. Something's going on with the internet, but no worries. We're broadcasting live on Global Star Radio Network, also BTR. And what we'll do is we'll put this on YouTube from our internal recording system, so we're not going to miss a minute of John Rappaport at all. So, having said that, and to the other, the continuing the contest, we'll do that tomorrow. We'll finish that contest out tomorrow to make it fair for everybody. All right, so John Rappaport is our guest. No more fake news. John, are you with us, hopefully, still?
I am.
Good. Okay. Yeah. It's amazing how we attract all of these attacks. But nonetheless, where do you want to go from here? Because you've got so much knowledge about so many things. Your triage of the current events. What do you think is important to talk about? I'm going to kind of turn it over.
Okay.
To you.
So let's see. I have some notes here. I wrote a piece called The Number One Mind Control Program at U.S. Colleges. And the reason that I wrote it was because I think everybody has seen somewhere or another this whole business now that is erupting through the college system of the United States for sure, and probably in other countries, where students are whining and complaining about being triggered and needing safe spaces. And the stories seem preposterous, but they are not only true, the whole concept is spreading. And it's basically the idea that any word, any action, by a teacher, by somebody on campus, by a sign, by a poster, anything can, quote, trigger a student. And then that student is automatically a victim and needs safe space, and in the wake of certain disturbing events in the news or the election or whatever, you actually see some colleges that provide these rooms with hot chocolate and toys and, you know, something that you would expect to find in a kindergarten. This is a college. Now, this is not just a little thing. This has legs. This is spreading. This is a trend, and it's not going away. And so I wanted to try to run this down. Where is this crazy thing coming from? And I came across a statistic that says, and this is pretty staggering, last year, 25% of all college students were either diagnosed with a mental disorder or they were treated for a mental disorder, which means heavy drugs. 25%, one out of four. So what we're looking at really here is that U.S. colleges have been turned into psychiatric clinics. Unknown to most people, over time, especially I would say in the last 15 years, this has been happening. And when you are diagnosed with a mental disorder, forget the drugs for a moment, just the idea that you now have something, you know, that the psychiatrist will tell you is a result of a chemical imbalance in the brain, you now classify as a victim. You can now go around and think of yourself as a victim. And you're a young person. You're not even grown up yet. And now you can begin to cook up, imagine, that certain things now are supposed to bother you because you have a disorder and you need special attention and you need a place to retreat to. So it's really the psychiatric infiltration of colleges that was at the root of all of this that's now going on. And then I went much further in the article and I began to take apart the whole profession of psychiatry and the basis of it, the pseudoscience of it, and so on and so forth, and the very heavy toxic effects of the drugs.
could this, this is a culmination, from what I'm hearing you say, and of course reading your articles, John Rappaport, by the way, folks, No More Fake News, also on the Hagman Report. The psychiatric drugs given to youth, we're seeing the effects come home to roost, aren't we? I mean, if I'm hearing you correctly, at least in one sense, is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, these, and I've documented this with citation after citation, study after study, these drugs cause some extremely serious problems. Psychosis, motor brain damage. There are at least 300,000 cases in America, and I'm underestimating, of motor brain damage from one class of psychiatric drugs called neuroleptics, or sometimes called major tranquilizers, like Risperdal and so forth. And these drugs are now handed out like candy. So, yes, and we're talking about violence caused by certain antidepressants, has been documented time and time again. Some of these, you could go back to Columbine shooting in the school there. Both of the shooters were on some form of antidepressant, or at least one of the shooters was on a form of antidepressant. That can cause a kind of grand psychosis, a sort of a mania where tremendous destructive plans are being made and so forth and so on. The country, as I've documented really now for the last 10, 15 years, is being torn apart from the inside by these drugs because they're so prevalent. And younger children are being prescribed the drugs. You can find four-year-olds, three-year-olds that are being prescribed antidepressants. I mean, what kind of so-called mental health professional in his right mind would ever make a diagnosis of that in a three-year-old child? So, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And I like your, folks, go to John Rappaport's website. Children, well, you write, well, your article was just tremendously coherent, cohesive, and absolutely all-encompassing. The translation of these problems and so-called mental disorders, scientific fakery and fraud, the effects of the drugs given to the, treat these conditions, toxic and damaging, as you stated. You really get into all of this. In a very real sense, you write, the entire profession of psychiatry is a mind control operation. And as you said, you write here as well, it has invaded college campuses. It's spread across all sectors of the country and the world, and it's eating societies and cultures from the inside. And there you have it. I do suspect, based on reading you for a number of years, this is not a happy accident or an accident at all. This is would appear to be an intentional. What would you call it? I don't want to say dumbing down, but an intentional programming of our youth. I mean,
I believe it is. I don't think there's any question about it, because although different people have different motives, you know, the profit motive and the I want to keep my job motive, and I'm a professional psychiatrist and this is how I've been trained motive, and so on, at the highest levels, what you're looking at here is a plan, an operation to program and scramble, really, people's brain chemistry to make them disabled, disoriented, completely incapable of functioning in some cases ever again, as a way of destroying society as we know it, to put it bluntly.
Is
there are
it
people who are aware of that, and they're intentionally setting out to do it.
is it more prevalent in the United States, or is this Europe as well, or both, or?
It's gaining ground in other countries, but by far, the United States is the number one target. By far. For example, if you look at the number of children that have been diagnosed with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, you find a huge preponderance in the United States. Other countries are catching up to some degree, but there is still resistance there to saying, no, I don't think we're really talking about a mental disorder here. We're talking about maybe a child who has a problem, or, you know, a child who may just be bored and would rather be doing something else. There's such a catch-all into which the diagnosis of ADHD can fall that it's easy to diagnose whenever anybody wants to, and then to prescribe the drugs, which are speed. They are upper drugs. They're very closely related to the amphetamines, and they produce amphetamine-like effects with all of the attendant issues that would arise with anybody who is addicted or who's constantly taking that drug. Crashes, becoming very irritable, aggressive, nightmares, psychotic breaks, severe depression, at which point then, of course, the psychiatrist diagnoses a brand new condition, clinical depression, that has, oh, nothing to do with the drugs that I gave your child. We now need to add new drugs, making the whole thing worse. So the United States is way out ahead in this whole destructive escapade.
And, John, if I can just add one thing, and maybe this doesn't have anything to do with what you're talking about, at least not directly, but I just find it very absurd. For example, here you've got the overprescription of medication to children and of this drug. And, you know, I just read something where the DEA is cracked down on doctors prescribing pain medication for children with terminal cancer. Their reason, of course, is we don't want to, the dying children, we cannot afford them to get hooked on pain medication.
The absurdity here. Yeah. And it drives people crazy when they hear something like that. You know, I'm talking about just anybody reads that and they think, what is wrong with these people? I mean, these are supposed to be the best and the brightest, the best educated, the scientists, and they're saying, no, we don't want to spend the money on possibly addicting someone who is dying of cancer.
Right.
This reminds me of, you know, there are terminal cancer patients where the doctor will say, well, look, we could give you chemo, but even if it works, we're probably looking at 6 months, a greater survival rate or something like that. But, you know, and now the family and the friends and so forth go outside the hospital room, and they sit down and they start arguing.
Yeah.
You know, and the arguments get very heated.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, well, we have to follow the doctor's orders. Well, what orders? We have to, you know, make sure that she gets chemo. He didn't exactly say that. Well, that's what he implied, and that's what we have to do. But, you know, in other words, do you know how brutal chemo is and what it does to the body and how it destroys the immune system and cuts off the reproduction of cells and so on? And we've already been told that she's terminal, and now you're saying that we have to add this on to her suffering? Oh, but that is still, that's what the doctors do. We have to do that. People are so brainwashed that they will do absurd things that make absolutely no sense and end up being incredibly cruel, but they will do them.
You know, I've been in the hospital rooms. I've been in the situations like you described, you know, moments ago. I've seen it from really both sides, and it's just I don't know. None of this makes sense. And I just want to thank you for all of your coverage on this medical tyranny. It's a broad topic, and you really cover this comprehensively.
I could add one other thing here there are a lot of people that may be new to this in some fashion or another, but you know, doctors and medical bureaucrats and so forth always like to say, well, we are only interested in mainstream published studies. That's all we want to hear about, because that's really where the good science is. So about 6 or 7 years ago, I found a review in the Journal of the American Medical Association, top flight mainstream journal, July 26, 2000. And the review is by Dr. Barbara Starfield, who at the time was a revered public health expert at Johns Hopkins. Everybody's credentials up and down the line were meticulously mainstream. And her review was titled, Is U.S. Health Really the Best in the World? And she concluded that every year in the United States, the medical system kills 225,000 people, which would extrapolate out to 2.25 million people every decade, making it the third leading cause of death in America. So, here we go. And I have written about this many, many, many times, and from many, many angles and perspectives, and I have cited other studies and other findings that corroborate some aspect of what Dr. Starfield wrote. It's not just one review. Major media gave it very little coverage. They never give it coverage now. I interviewed her shortly before she died in 2009, Dr. Starfield, and I asked her, has the federal government, which surely knows about all of this, ever done anything in a real way to try to fix the situation? And she said, no, emphatically. I said, have they ever contacted you, any agency of the federal government, to try to consult and help them remedy any of it? No.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Does any of this connect to the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. And this was the hidden secret in the whole thing, which I pointed out several times emphatically, like I'm doing now. During the deliberations as to whether or not, you know, Congress was going to pass Obamacare, I said, here's what you don't know. If this passes, many, many more people are going to be ushered into this system, and they will be treated with the drugs, with the hospital care, with this, with that, and these mortality figures that I'm citing here are going to escalate. It's going to go much, much higher. So I hate to be the bearer of that news, but there's no escaping from it. If the present system is killing 2.25 million people per decade, and you add many more people into the exact same system, you're going to get more deaths. But not only that, what you're also going to get over time is, for people who are interested in natural health, or what, you know, has been called alternative health care of any kind whatsoever, under the Obama plan, over time, those practitioners who could offer that would be edged out of the equation. They would no longer be permitted to practice up the road. Gradually, they would be taken out of the system, because everybody would be under Obamacare, and everybody would be going to a medical doctor, and the medical doctor would say, now look, we can't fool around here. if you're going to see some other practitioner who's giving you something else, supplements, whatever it is, we can't have that because that's not science. And so you have to make a choice. You're in or you're out. And so that, a huge percentage of the population, which has been seeking natural means of maintaining and improving their health, would also be, you know, eventually dumped by the side of the road over time.
Wow. The maliciousness of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And folks, John Rappaport has done so much research on this, the subject of medical tyranny. He is the go-to person, in my view, for this topic, nomorefakenews.com. It's, and of course his articles and such. I can't believe this, John. We only have a few minutes left here. I'm gonna just give you the floor. Whatever you think in the next, 4 minutes or so that should be addressed, please do so. You're on fire.
Okay. Well, one of the bottom lines here is that medical freedom or health freedom really must be maintained at all costs, whatever the struggle is. In other words, the right to refuse medication, the right to manage your own health and your own body in whatever way you want to as a responsible adult, the right to have a family, which means that you can decide what health means for your children and what it doesn't mean. These are issues that must be kept alive, and that freedom must be kept alive, regardless of encroachments and pretensions about we know the science and you don't and you're not competent to make any decisions and we're here to help and you must obey, all of these kinds of things. And I would conclude with another final fact, because we were talking about psychiatry before. In the so-called Bible of Psychiatry, which is a book that is periodically issued and expanded, published by the American Psychiatric Association, there are now roughly 300 defined and distinct so-called mental disorders. 300. If you're thinking they're padding it, you're absolutely right. And the kicker is, in not one of these, any one of these, is there a defining diagnostic test of any physical kind. No saliva test, no blood test, no hair test, no brain scan, no genetic scan, no any kind of test that is a defining diagnostic test where you will see, well, if the person tests positive on this test, then we diagnose him with the following mental disorder. There is nothing like that for any of the 300 so-called mental disorders.
And you know, I never really thought of that. So like an x-ray would be definitive or blood test definitive. You're saying
there isn't
they don't exist. Wow.
And it's called the DSM.
Right.
Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. It's a giant, thick book. And if you wanted to torture yourself and read through it, you would discover no defining diagnostic test for any mental disorder. It's just not there. I have confessions and admissions on the record from psychiatrists who say, absolutely true, there are no defining diagnostic tests. Everybody in the profession knows it.
That's just bizarre. Wow. But there it is. And that's... Hey, everyone should be a psychiatrist, for crying out loud. I mean, you can never go wrong. Literally.
Yeah, that's
or
right.
Or be proven wrong. John Rappaport, thank you. We're at the end of our program. And I just want to say thank you so much for your gracious gift of time.
And thank you. It's always a great pleasure to be here.
Well, I'll tell you something. You are a beacon of knowledge and light in an otherwise murky and dark environment. So God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much for your time. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon. All right.
Thank you so much.
All right, brother. Thank you. Folks, that was John Rappaport. NoMoreFakeNews.com. What a great, knowledgeable man. And No More Fake News, one of my favorite websites. And his products, the Matrix revealed. And then, of course, the follow-ups, too. Very, very interesting in terms of the information from the Matrix, Power Outside the Matrix, and all of his work is extremely, just fantastic. I want to apologize to the people out there. We are, I do suspect that we here at the studios are under some sort of internet attack. It's, I can't prove that, but it appears that way. And boy, what a baptism by fire for my daughter, Jackie Hagman, first time on air.
The show's messing up because I'm here.
No.
Yep.
See. No, she's my darling daughter, and you're gonna be hearing more from Jackie. So
maybe,
yeah, we're gonna just duct tape you to the chair. Anyway, folks, we're gonna have to cut it short tonight. Those listening on various other media, God bless each and every one of you. We're gonna work on our problems until tomorrow. Stay safe and God bless.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, DanielHoldings.com. That's DanielHoldings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to DanielHoldings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.